There's waiting for hope.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, and thank you for joining on my very first episode of Conscious Conversations. I am your host, the J to J. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today we are talking about the criminalization and emasculation of the black man. My guest will be Rosna Russ, who is a career coach for high school students at Martin Luther King Charter School in the Lower Ninth Ward here in New Orleans, Louisiana. Also today, I'll have Brother Roosevelt Muhammad, who is entrepreneur, author, motivational speaker, and student minister here in the city of New Orleans. Also, Nabi Imhotep, who will be calling in to chime in and discuss the criminalization and emasculation of the black man. Rosna Russ, are you on?
I'm on. Thank you for having me, Ms. J to J.
Well, thank you for joining me in this discussion. Let's just get right into it. There seems to be, you know, everyone calls me a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, certain things are just factual. And there seems to be a demonization and a criminalization of the black man. I mean, it's always been that way on the news, how we're portrayed in movies, how we portray ourselves in the music, but particularly the legal system. And this is what we want to deal with today. There is a documentary by Ava, I can't pronounce her last name, Deborah. She's the sister who
Devani?
She did the Selma, okay. She did this documentary called The 13th. And in this documentary, it talks about how the 13th Amendment, which eradicated slavery and made it unconstitutional for anyone to be held as a slave, except for commission of a crime. So if you are convicted of a crime, then that automatically places you in the slave system, which is the American justice system. The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. Now, black men make up 6.5% of the population of the United States, but they're 40.2% of the prison population. That's almost half. And so
it is.
You know, things have to be looked at. Miss Michelle Alexander, she wrote a book called The New Jim Crow, and it discusses how the prison industrial complex has become the new prison system, you know, prison for profit, and how they haul us from into the system and, you know, use us really still for profit.
Somewhat like what they did with slavery.
Right. Transition it from slavery to sharecropping, but it still was a form of slavery.
Exactly.
So I want to get into that. The fact that the U.S. is home of 5% of the world's population, but holds 25% of the world's prisoners. That's kind of astronomical that in 1970 in America, you had 327,000 people that were in prison. And today we have over 2 million people who are in prison in the United States. And you being a school teacher,
I'm not a school teacher. I work with kids. Yes, I do.
Okay, you work with kids. What are you seeing in terms of the school to prison pipeline?
It definitely exists. I think there's a problem. I'm going to take it back to home because everything the school can't do everything, you know, and a lot of the kids that come in, they're already very, they have issues, they're troubled. What they need, counseling. They need people to listen to them. Kids are very angry. The kids that I work with are extremely angry. They come in with so many issues. And I think most of the issues stem from their environment outside of the school. They think that parents need to be more vigilant when it comes to what goes on in their children's lives. And which takes me to a whole nother level, because a lot of things that happen, like the fighting at my school, stems from social media. Kids
really?
Go on Twitter. Yes, Twitter is definitely an issue. My school, it is. You know, most of the high school kids, they use Twitter and Instagram, and it starts fights every day. All day. Discipline seems to be more of an issue than education.
Oh, that's deep. But that's the point, that they're disciplining our children by placing them in jail. You know, definitely there are a lot of problems with the black family and what's going on in our homes, and I definitely am an advocate for counseling for children or just in the black community, period. But when I was coming up, or when we were growing up, people fought. You know, you got in a fight in the schoolyard, a fight in the schoolyard, or, you know, meet me at the store at 3 o'clock, and, you know what I'm saying, knock this off my shoulder. I mean, fighting is as human as, you know, this is what you do when you're younger. But when we were coming
right.
up, we didn't have people walking around in the school with guns. We didn't have policemen in the gun.
Jada, we also didn't have reality television shows that are promoting violence and ignorance.
That's true.
There are so
That's
many
true.
Things that kids are watching on television, and in their mind, it's okay. It's okay to cuss. It's okay for young ladies to carry themselves inappropriately, which is really not the way it should be, but this is what they are seeing. You're emulating what they're seeing. Yeah.
Well, I think with the music, also at some point in time, it started promoting this tough exterior, going to jail is cool, being
mm-hmm.
from the project
mm-hmm.
is cool. When I was growing up, being from the project, we didn't like being from the project. We were from the project, but it meant that you were poor. You know, my people didn't have no money. So I think that there's a shift in how our children are, or how jail or being tough or is portrayed. And so getting shot is like a badge of honor today. Being from the project is a badge of honor.
It is. That's the way the kids look at it. It's a badge of honor. Something that they look, it's like they're looking forward to it. Not realizing that being incarcerated, that's being enslaved.
And that's exactly what it is. It's the American justice system is another form of slavery. It really
mm-hmm.
just extended slavery. It never ended it. This movie, The 13th, by the sister, Sister
mm-hmm.
Ava, was really, 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 really a very good documentary. I recommend that everybody watch it. It needs to be watched and discussed. There's a statistic that 1 in 3 black males is expected to go to prison in his lifetime, while 1 in 17 white males are expected to go. Newt Gingrich admitted that the consequences of crack and cocaine should have been the same, but the disparity in sentencing had an enormous burden on the black community. So during the Nixon administration, one of the aides recently, before he died, gave an interview, and the aide said that the war on drugs was created as a political tool to fight blacks and hippies. The aide over the domestic policy chief, John Elwickman, the White House had two enemies, the anti-war left and black people. Listen, quote, "We knew we couldn't make it illegal to be either against the war or blacks, but by getting the public to associate the hippies with marijuana and blacks with heroin and then criminalizing both heavily, we could disrupt those communities. We could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, break up their meetings, and vilify them night after night on the evening news. Did we know we were lying about the drugs? Of course we did." So there has been in this country since, I'm saying since this inception, but definitely since the drafting of the ratifying of the 13th Amendment, a deliberate plot to keep us in control, and by keeping us in control through the prison industry. So J. Edgar Hoover, which is interesting that J. Edgar Hoover was a black man and who could pass. Isn't that something? That one of the best kept secrets, that J. Edgar Hoover was really a black man passing to say that he was so evil to our people. But his whole thing was to stop the rise of a black messiah. And, man, it's like, it's so obvious now that since the crack epidemic that they start with Clinton, our people love President Clinton. But these people were giving us, if you had one rock, you got 5 years for one rock. I know a dude who's doing 20 years for having a couple of pounds of weed. 20 years out your life for weed, you know, and then you look on the other spectrum, and it's not the same reality. You know, white people right now are experiencing an epidemic of prescription drug addiction, meth and heroin addiction, and it is being treated as, it's being treated as a public health issue. They're not being criminalized like we were during the crack epidemic. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I have something in reference to when we talk about certain things, we talk about black crime, you know, that plays a part. Black on black crime, that's why a lot of brothers and sisters are incarcerated.
That's true. Well, can I ask you this? And I would love to ask anyone who wants to call in, please do call us at 646-668-2795. Again, the call-in number to join the conversation is 646-668-2795. The question that I want
I just want to say this one thing. When the media, when we look at television, is it that the media is sensationalizing black crime?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I know I read not long ago that 93% of all black homicide victims are killed by other blacks. That's very disparaging to hear that.
It is so sad.
So sad.
So do you,
as a race, I think that black people, we do need to look at ourselves, stop making excuses about certain things. I'm not saying that white America is powerful.
Welcome
but
to the session.
I do advocate that
a little bit. I get on the show.
Black people should now get in roles of power.
No, the radio show.
What do you mean, in the political spectrum?
I mean in the judicial system.
But let me ask you this. There's a book called Locking Up Our Own, What Led to Mass Incarceration. And this guy, this former guy, he talks about, when we're talking about black-on-black crime, that also most of the people who are putting our people in a jail are also black. You got the black, some cities you go in, there's a black judge, there's a black prosecutor, a black bailiff, the arresting officer was black, the police chief is black, the mayor is black, majority of the council is black. So we're committing these crimes on one another, And then we are also in these majority black jurisdictions are locking up our own people. Mm-hmm. So it's a never-ending cycle. I mean,
the question is, how can it be broken? How can it be broken?
Brother Roosevelt, you want to expound on that?
It can only be broken when we establish our own government, by which the rules, policies, and guidelines have to be accepted by the general population. So right now, the only reason they are able to incarcerate our brothers and sisters at an alarming rate and have black people do that for them is that the black people who are doing it have belief and confidence in the system they are administrating on behalf of white people.
Can I ask a question? We live in America. How can we establish our own governmental explain
system
that to me?
The same way the Via Patigis have come into our community and the Arabs have come in our community, and you never see either of these parties within the what you call city council begging for needs. They're not there petitioning city council for nothing. You don't ever go in there and see that there's a Vietnamese in the city council addressing their needs, or the Arabs are in city council addressing their needs. The only people applying for their needs is black people, because black people have not accepted full responsibility for the surrounding areas in which they live. The system cannot assist us. We have to build a system of our own and administrate those systems among ourselves justly. So the question is, do we like criminals?
I don't think our people understand that reality.
All right, but black people are the consumers of our basic needs. So we do have a reality that we can administrate our own needs. It's just that we have self-hatred.
Can I ask one other question?
Yes.
I'd like to know, how can we stop black people from spending their dollar on all these other ethnicities?
You can't stop it.
Give them the power.
You can't stop it, because then that means you got to become the provider of what other people are providing to your people at a better convenience in a more reasonable price. All right. Now, that don't mean don't address it. Okay. So now that we see, we have to go about it in a strategic manner. What do you want to provide to your people that someone else is providing to your people at a reasonable price? We have to become providers.
That's where Blackonomics comes into play.
Talking about Blackonomics.
But even if I provide those products, who's to say that black person is going to come support me? Because most times our mentality is the white man's ice cubes are colder than the black man.
That's not true. We have to be consistent in our providing of these particular things. We can't be what you call microwave fixers. We're gonna provide soap for our people 1 week, but then we didn't even buy enough soap for them next week because we were saying, well, they might not buy it. We have to become consistent in whatever we are distributing among our people, and then remove the excuse that they won't buy it. That's not the truth. If you consistently say, Brother Roe, I want you to buy these tomatoes from me and these bell peppers, and I agree to buy them. Now it's your job to stay consistent with these tomatoes and bell peppers so that you can keep me satisfied and never have
no
to
doubt.
Go out of
I agree. I agree.
Okay, so that comes with all of the products that we need. You see what I'm saying?
It forced
my hand to shut up. I agreed to tell you what. I would buy these tomatoes and these bell peppers. Now you here with them, so what's my excuse not to buy them? Now you can shame me and my fake, phony profession. And that's how you get rid of fake people. You call them to the carpet for what they say they would do. Eliminate the fake among us. You see what I'm saying? And it comes with self-examination. We sometimes complain about what black people ain't doing, but we're actually ones doing it ourselves. Ask yourself this big question.
That's true.
How many products I consume over a monthly basis come from black people?
Black people spending the most money.
Ask the question, how many products do me or you, we purchase on a monthly basis that come from black people? And if black people provide them, and we know they provide them, why are we still purchasing from the enemy?
But
we don't know how to do it ourselves, apparently.
That's
and
not
all we
the truth.
All we see in the Caucasian
right now,
is the enemy.
I'm going to give you a number one product that is consumed by black people only, right? Hair. Hair.
Hair?
Yes.
Yeah, guess what? I'm with you on that. You're right.
Okay, so now let's ask the question.
I'm not
guilty
of it.
How many black people go out of their way to buy hair from black people?
Oh, no.
We know they're black hair providers.
I see it in the school that I work at. These kids come with this hair every day. New hair.
And
that's all they talk about.
It's so expensive.
So expensive.
It's really a trade called the hair trade. And I mean they have
in certain areas.
In
certain areas they even finance in hair now.
Isn't that something?
In certain cities. Mhm.
All right, now can we start a campaign then? To educate our young sisters on proper choice of hair purchase, on proper use of their financial resources, and show them that's not an investment, that's not an asset. So the thing is, we actually have to start by
educating the mindset.
All right. So how many of us are willing to address the mindset consistently? See, and then when we run into the brick wall of someone who's not willing to go along with our advice. Go along with our perception, you know, then what do we do? Do we give up because we got two or three rejections, or do we stay consistent? So right now there's a shortage of education. So now those of us who are on this phone, you're only on the phone because you want to provide some source of education to our people. So we are actually doing it at this present moment. We are addressing the needs and informing the community of the things we think are important, right?
Right. True.
Now we just got to stay consistent. We got to take it from just blog talk radio to the street now, door-to-door campaigning. Like, all right, how you doing today? We need you to be on our petition for changing our community. Okay, well, how can I get involved? All right, anytime you know you stop running away from the crimes you see, and you see them, report them. You know, it all... demand that little youngster to stop the certain behavior. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or instead of calling the police, you step up and referee that situation. You know, we quickly want to say, well, white folks are oppressing our children, putting them in jail. Who called the police? Because we don't have community responsibility. The police are only called because of a lack of adult supervision or a lack of adult involvement. So you only call the police when you don't want to deal with your community problem.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that the process of criminalization and what is happening to our youth in the community, do you really think the tide can be changed? And if so, those solutions that you're talking about now, can you give a few more solutions to eradicate the criminalization of our youth?
You can't stop that. That's their choice of advertisement. You can't combat it that way. That's statistics. That's somebody else broadcasting that, right? Criminalization of our youth, right? That's some noble title. You know, criminal behavior started on America's foundation. It was a criminal behavior that established this place. So you can't go to apple tree looking for oranges, right? So you can't go to a criminal enterprise that was founded on criminal activity and try to find some civilized people. Every person in America is a criminal.
And guess what? When you say that takes us to what they call systemic racism.
No,
that's not
systemic racism. That is criminal racism. When you're actually taking and being able to say, okay, what is criminalization but a law created by individual person as biased towards the behavior of another individual person who's providing a basic necessity? So is a hungry person that's starving to death, is he a criminal when he takes food because he's hungry? That's a crime. You see what I'm saying? So some crimes are basic survival for basic survival purposes and not for taking advantage of or trying to grow a criminal enterprise. You see what I'm saying? It's a difference. So we're looking at something of the criminalization of our youth. The only reason our youth are actually participating in criminal activity is the lack of activity that give them legitimate means for survival.
Right. Okay, what about crimes that are committed not for survival?
all crimes that are committed is a part of a game that the person who's participating in that particular game understands that it is a wrong. Drug dealers know it's wrong to sell drugs. Prostitution, they know it's wrong to sell coochie. There's no crime that actually is known to not be a wrong. So the person that's doing it is actually, they're not illiterate, they're not blind to the fact, they know it's wrong. So they're choosing to do that. Go tell a woman that's selling some coochie cat is wrong. She's going to say, shit, it's been paying my bills. Go tell a person that's running out of the dollar store with all that deodorant when people buying that deodorant at half price or a dollar off. Tell them it's wrong.
So it's a mindset. It's something that people have.
It's not
have
a mindset. It's a practice.
It's with them.
It's not a mindset. It's a practical reward for behavior. It's
but
not a mindset.
You still have a justice system that is disproportionately unjust and biased, and it's for profit. So you have judges that are selling these children into the juvenile system to keep these beds, or you have certain states that can't have vacancies. They need the beds to be constantly filled. So there's a constant need to keep these prisons full.
There's money in incarceration, yes.
Okay, yes, it is, because incarceration is the new slavery. There was profits in slavery. That's why it was done. So now that slavery is made to be looking bad in the eyesight of the world, so now they changed it from slavery to criminals. Criminals are the new slaves. So we gotta break the appetite for criminal behavior. You see, you cannot stop.
You can only do that when you have access to money and you're taught how to make money.
Money is not the issue. It's not the issue. When you say money, right? Money is.
Well,
the
why are these brothers out here selling drugs, bruh?
Because the appetite for the drugs is high. The money, the reward is higher. So you're dealing with the training of a mind that, you know, you're saying, why are they selling drugs? Why are people buying them? They're only fulfilling a void. You see what I'm saying? You can't stop something. You want to stop this drug dealer, stop the weed here, stop the crack here, stop the heroin here. Okay, then that means if you actually know what it feels like to be addicted to something, right? So you're looking at right now, you stop doing that, or now the drug dealer stop providing it, right? But you still got the craving. If every weed provider stop providing weed, what would the weed heads do?
The
provider is no longer there. Same with heroin. Same with coke. If the buyer is no longer there, then the dealer is no longer there because the dealer is going to dry out. Man, this shit ain't paying off no more, man. I've been holding on to this pound of weed for 3 months. Nobody ain't bought nothing. I ain't getting this no more. See what I'm saying? So if the demand for it dries up, if the demand dries up, the crime stops.
There's no – right.
So you can't stop that particular element. We're wasting our time as people trying to stop the flow. That's like trying to stop a river fall. You go to the river fall and look at the water falling from the top of the mountain, and you're like, I need to stop that water from stopping. You're not going to stop that. That's a natural flow. So you want to stop crime. You can't stop crime until we build a new government.
I don't see black people accepting the reality of building something of our own. I really don't think our people think we could do that without white people. Unlike the Jewish communities that are established, like in Houston, California, New York, they have Italian communities, Jewish communities that are patrolled by their own people. They don't let other people come in and set up businesses. You know, I don't think our people are ready for that or believe that it can happen in terms of us separating ourselves inside of America and controlling our own communities.
Inside of America?
Yes. We don't have to go nowhere. We just take over and control our own communities, buy them up, and spend our dollars with ourselves.
If we keep going after the dollar, which has lost its value, then we are going to continue to be at need. We have to build a community of self-sufficiency where the needs of the community are provided from within the circle of the community, which is the basic necessities. We need to be providers of our food. We need to be providers of our clothes. We need to control the homing and the housing within our community so that if there comes a time where we can't pay rent, that we don't have to kick each other out. We depend on each other. We are a cycle that's leaning on each other. As long as we get in this capitalistic race of who got the most money, that's not going to help us. We need a community-based structure where money is not the filtering or strength of that community. It means the basic needs of that community are covered from within the community. Money is only something that's an abstract reality. You see, so long as we keep on chasing the mighty dollar, yes, I do respect the dollar so we could buy up all the houses within our community and then provide all of the small gardens where we all control and everything in there. And we got all of the so-called criminals afraid to come within a geographical location of our community.
Now, I know
you said money is an abstract reality?
Yes.
Explain that statement, beloved.
In America?
Yes.
I don't think so.
All right. What is money? Does money have a value, right? All right, when we look at money, we're saying it's an abstract reality. Everybody that's on the treadmill chasing it, but majority of the people who control the money don't have money. They got digital cards that represent money. They don't have money. So this is coming into a digital world where you're going to have to show people that your digital reality. So when you go to the store now, you don't give them money. You give them a bank card. So eventually money will not be in circulation. The only thing going to be in circulation is the basic needs. So when you walk up to somebody and need these tomatoes, you say, well, do you have $40? No, I got a car. Okay. So what did you go there for? You went with money or did you just go to let that person know, I got money? Okay, prove it to me. Give me your card. All right? Once you give them your card and prove that you got digital money, you want what from them? That tomato, that grape, whatever they providing. It ain't. So now you there getting a physical substance for the representation of money that's not present. They just trust you now because you gave them a card with a digital attachment on it that proves you are in possession of money. But did you go there to get money from her, back from her? No, you came to get a tomato or whatever that person's providing. So that's what I mean by money is an abstract. You know, we could chase the money, but we got to be able to control the natural resources of what money represents. Housing. Food,
clothing, shelter,
and if we do that, come on, that's a number, that's a resource right there. There's plenty of. If you think money, that's not a shortage of food and clothing. Or clothing, come on, how many thrift stores you know is available with clothes in there for $2, $3? But people have now systematically trained themselves that ain't valuable clothes no more. You see what I'm saying? That's from a drug store. I need to be able to pay this amount for some clothes. So the person who's become a salvage provider of clothes is more financially rewarded than the fool that's buying the clothes.
Right.
Our goal is community control. Community control. No, only four.
So that would involve a lot of community education and advocacy because our people are just not on that level.
But we were forced to address it and then show a tangible reality for the new educational paradigm. If we keep going to an incompetent system that has produced incompetent people, then we're going to continue to get incompetent reality. The educational system in which we are advocating has not proven to civilize or direct human beings to be productive and responsible. So we have a country in which we live in that is suffering financially, is suffering structural-wise because they are providing education, but they can't provide those who receive the education with a job. So it goes back to the basics. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, do something for yourself. We want a government of our own, a territory or a state that we can actually operate and prove to America we are capable of providing our own basic necessities. You think it's a game? Look at Utah.
You talking about the Mormons?
Yes.
How they left and established their own communities?
Yes.
Right.
Look at the Irish. These people still live off the grid. They don't even got basic electricity. They don't even have, you know, in their community, they don't have phone lines running through. The Irish have
Amish.
I apologize. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we are trapped in a dependent state for technology.
and for this white man's resources of welfare, because we refuse to go within our community to provide our own basic needs. We talk a good talk, but we lazy as hell.
I would definitely agree with that, brother.
So those of us tomorrow who are on this phone have to get up off our backsides having our good, beautiful, intellectual conversations and go to work.
Right. Right.
Now, what we about to do, sisters? Talk to me now. Y'all got me hyped?
Well, I mean, we got a lot of things. But I love your energy because you're the type of person people need to be plugged into every day. Welcome to the conversation, Brother Nabi. Salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum. How you doing? How are y'all?
I'm doing wonderful.
Oh, salam alaikum, soldier.
All right. How you doing?
We were talking about the criminalization of the black man and getting into solutions for our community in terms of economics and providing things for ourselves. I know you are an entrepreneur yourself. And so one of the things that Brother Roosevelt was just saying is, what are we going to do in order to get up and change the reality in our community? And I know you have a team. Could you tell us some of the things that you are doing in the community, Brother Nabi, and also weigh in on this conversation on the criminalization and how we can improve things in our community?
Thank you, first off, and it's nice to meet you too, brother.
Yes, sir.
The biggest thing we're doing right now is just trying to reach out to the people closest to us, our the people in our neighborhoods and stuff like that, the kids, really. Because I know it sounds cliche, but we always talk about how the kids, the future and everything else. It all ties in together, because the same way you said about criminalization of our people or whatever, it starts with the youth. The same way they're teaching them to get out there and do stupid stuff and bad stuff is the same way we're teaching them to start studying and teaching them how to plant and be entrepreneurs themselves. We're so big on teaching them how to be great workers and get jobs and everything else, but we don't teach our children how to work for themselves and keep themselves busy. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Brother Roosevelt also has his Young Professional Entrepreneurs Boys and Girls Club, where he teaches children how to buy products, brand them, and go out in the community door-to-door and sell them.
Exactly.
And I know you're also doing some things like that over there in Mississippi and also starting a school. It would be wonderful if you two brothers could link up. But also, Rosalind, she's in the schools, the charter school system, and she's a curriculum coach. And I know once we had a conversation, and she was saying she would love for our children to move more towards the digital computer aid, learning computers, and you know, things that they can do in the future. So, do y'all think that providing our children with the right mindset in terms of making their own money will curb the tide of the prison to school to prison pipeline?
If you ask me first, I think what you said, the other sister said about the teaching them with the electronics and stuff. I think that's wonderful, because the same system that brainwashes through the music, through the TV and everything else, you can use that same exact system to teach. If we put nothing but positivity out there, showing them instead of just telling them to read it and everything else, this is a whole new age, and we're so stuck on trying to be. I mean, we went from writing on walls to writing on pieces of paper to writing on books, and now we don't want to accept that. We might take it to the next level as far as putting them in classrooms where they just watching videos on how to do and what to do type stuff to program them or reprogram them right back into the right way. Yeah, I mean, anything, everything. I'm sorry? I didn't hear you. Mr. Jay?
Brother Roosevelt.
Yes, I'm here.
So could you expound on your mission too? Because the brother is into teaching the youth skills, entrepreneurial skills. Could you tell us a little about your program and your LifeLinks program and how you're curbing the children from entering into the drug trade and being caught up into the system?
Well, the thing is, the number one thing that I do is giving the youngster the first exchange of financial advancement through product exchange. If you are not providing them with a product to provide to the community, then you can't stop them from any illegal activity.
Right.
So now you have If you so we got to go as a people and we got to evaluate what is our basic needs. And once we evaluate our basic needs, now we need to be providers of those basic needs with the understanding that the youth are going to be the distributors. So if you buy, if you got to use soap 365 days a year, then you purchase your soap from young people. You got to wash clothes, you should be washing, buying your detergent from young people. If you got to use bleach, you should be buying that from young people. You got to use hair grease, you should be buying that from young people. You got to become the sole provider of the basic needs within our community and then shame the community that don't support the youth. So there are some people that's going to be ridiculed. In the near future, I'm calling fake Negroes to the carpet. If you're not a life, if you're not a YP LifeLink, you phony, straight up. Period.
So when you
say that again.
Excuse me. When you say that, are you are referring to them being distributors of the product or manufacturers?
Manufacturing and distributing.
No.
I run into one that has manufacturing and ability that can teach it without verbalization and practical application. We can talk, but other than that, I'm going to have to buy from China. Other than that, I'm going to buy from the sources I'm getting it from right now. I like the good talk about manufacturing, but I haven't met one that's got the manufacturing. We still got to go for the basic needs, the basic source of all the manufacturing. We still got to go to China. We still got to go to Africa. We still got to go to other countries who's providing the natural resources. Okay, I'm with manufacturing. But I don't, until someone who wants to accept responsibility for the manufacturing come to me, I'm going to be a distributor wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about your YP LifeLink.
The YP LifeLink.
And also your YP LifeLink and how people can get connected to help support the youth that you have. You have about 50 youth, huh?
Yes, at least 50 or more that's throughout the city doing what we teach them to do. A LifeLink is an individual person who agrees to spend 33 cents a day, $5 every 2 weeks, $10 a month with a young person. So look over all of the products we provide, and I don't give a damn what your excuse is. You got to buy something from them for $10. If you're not doing that, then you're the enemy of young people because there's not enough jobs in America to provide for all of the certified people with degrees right now running around can't find a damn job and owe the white man $50,000 to $60,000. So I'm only saying it's impossible to provide enough jobs for the youngsters. It's not enough job for the damn adults. So I'm addressing my youth because the adults are misspenders already. They're the ones throwing the money in the strip club. They're the one buying cigarettes and alcohol. If I could just misdirect the youth back to being productive and not wasters of money, you see what I'm saying? So right now you got adults. They buying, you know, they own their house. They own, you know, they got the adults are the problem because they don't know how to properly rechannel the finances they're in possession of.
So an adult promises to spend $10 a month with one of your students. And then what is the process?
The process from that is to look over our other resources and our other needs that are there. If you need your grass cut, okay, we have a landscaping department that cover landscaping in our YP. If you need a roofer, we got a certified roofer that is certified to come and do a small roof repair. All of the things that's needed within our community, in our network, we have individuals that provide those things, and we can back it up. If that person burn you, believe me, they're no longer part of the YP network. They got to go. So that person is the enemy of black progress within our community because they verbalized that they can do something and could not do it. So we no longer can provide them as a source of competency, so they are removed from our YP network. Other than that, you are a competent, reliable business owner that we can represent to the people, and then from that, you must do what the hell you say you can do. If you can't, then you blackball within the black community structure.
Okay. Welcome to the conversation, caller. Could you introduce yourself? Okay, guess they don't want to talk. Today we have on the line Brother Roosevelt, Rosalind Russ, Nabi Imhotep, and myself, Jada J. We are discussing the criminalization and emasculation of the black man, and it is also taking us into solutions that for the youth and what we can do to better our community so that we could be independent of these mm-hmm. people and do for ourselves. Please do dial in. We have about 15 more minutes left in the show. The call-in number is 646-668-2795. Again, that's 646-668-2795. We started this conversation today talking about the government of the Nixon administration criminalizing black people and drug use, also the Clinton administration crime bill, and the war on drugs, which increased the prison population. Now, the vast majority of black men that I know have been to jail. And then there's a process that once you come out of jail, you're like almost targeted and marked for the rest of your life because now you have this felony or whatever they put on you. And so, again, you've offered the solutions in terms of us providing our needs because it doesn't matter if they put a felony or whatever on you. Mm-hmm. But it really is, it comes off as a systemic racial problem, the criminalization of our people. And I want to know how most of these black men are really making it with these felonies and being criminalized and how they're able to take care of their families.
A felony is nothing but a white man's piece of paper. That don't have any power unless you accept it as a excuse. If you accept a felony as a reality or obstacle in your way, then you are actually being crippled mentally. A felony don't mean nothing, period.
If you don't have a skill or a trade, you're right.
Well,
if they have a skill or a trade, then it means nothing.
Even if they don't have a skill or a trade, they can go to anybody's institution that's called a job and provide the lead with the intention to steal away from that person. See, when you say a felony, that's something that most people use as excuses. You see what I'm saying? I got a felony. Okay, we got you the felony. You're hustling your grind. So now I'm asking you the question. Now, what are you willing to hustle and grind righteously that got you that, the same energy that got you that felony? You know, right now, you got to be able to put the same amount of energy into anything. We are providers of product or services. So if you're a felony, you need to, I can't get a job. All right, know what you do? You create one. I'm willing to volunteer my hard-earned money to buy you an edger, a blower, and a weed eater. And from that point, wherever you live at, you got a five-block radius to take over. And I don't give a damn if you got to cut yards for $15 a yard, and it's only going to take you about 15 to 20 minutes to cut that yard. See, the excuses are over with, period. I don't give a damn if I got to give you a water hose with some soap, and you go door-to-door washing cars. They charge $15 by the car wash. You charge it $8 because I'm using your water. I don't give a damn. The excuse making is over with. Mm-hmm. Period.
Sister Zeta.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's kind of amazing because I feel the brother's energy. He's absolutely right because I was going to say the same thing. As a matter of fact, you know me, and you know I went to prison when I was like 13, and I keep, as long as you know me, you know I keep two jobs. So a lot of people do use that for an excuse, and it's more that felony stuff. A lot of that whole system is about to crash. Everything that they're saying and trying to do is about to crash anyway. It's more about just, like the brother said, training our youth to work for themselves and not be consumers. Because that's always, I mean, when you're born, you get that Social Security card, you know this. And when you get a Social Security card, they just say, we're going to make money off you one way or another. You're worth so much money whether you know it or not. You just got to learn how to use your straw man. If you know how if you know how to use your like you said, your natural hustler ability, your natural energy to do anything, I don't care what it is. The brother is exactly right because, I mean, you know me personally, Sister Jenna. I don't know the brother, but I would love to make up with him because he's saying the same stuff I say all the time. It's no
all
excuses.
The time, yeah.
There's no excuse. We black and what do you want to call yourself? Black, whatever you want to call yourself. Whatever it is you want to call yourself. We are at war with a system. And the system has been trying to kill us for a very long time, which they have not succeeded on doing yet. So that tells you something right there. We're not going to be pushed away. We're going to survive. And
yeah,
like the brother said, no matter. Huh?
So they can't kill us. We the worst bad grass they ever ran into, brother.
And most definitely, like, family, I just had a post the other day, as a matter of fact, sitting saying, 6 years ago I was in prison facing life. I'm out here now working two jobs, taking care of my family. I got a house, all sorts of stuff. I'm good. And it's like people always use that excuse that you can't do something if they won't allow you to do it. Because I feel like this. We're all a fragment of the Creator. And the Creator is not going to put you in a situation. He puts you in a situation for a reason. Make you uncomfortable to be better. Like anything, you have to. A piece of diamond, it does not start off as a diamond. A pearl does not start off as a pearl. Anything you want to say, even like you said about that grass, you have to break through the dirt. You got to go through the hard times. You know what I'm saying? I caught a lot of feelings when I was young. If I catch one more right now, that gives them folks every reason to throw me away for the rest of my life. But that's the thing that keeps me in bounds.
See, one of the things is we got to not become protesters and we got to understand some people are criminals because that's their choice to want to be criminals. See, we got to understand the person who want to roll the dice with their life and get back in the game, and they know damn well it's their third strike, and they want to pick up that work and try to take over that block. Don't come hollering, screaming, or being to me about the white man giving you no goddamn time, because you know damn well cocaine is wrong, hair wrong. You know what's wrong. So we got to stop becoming what you call pity parties for these goddamn criminals. So the thing is, if he won't be a criminal, we got to let him know, look, brother, man, this area over here is ran by peacekeepers. Anybody caught within the jurisdiction of the five blocks that we control doing crime, we not calling a white man. We're going to beat your ass.
Man, most definitely I need to make that decision, right? Most definitely.
So I'll let you know straight up, this jurisdiction, this area is ran by peacekeepers. We are not calling
Sister
the Zeta. Police on you.
Sister Zeta, where's the brother from?
He's in New Orleans.
New Orleans, God.
I'm
was
sorry?
One of the y'all when I'm there.
I can't hear you now.
The minister is requesting 10,000. Minister Farrakhan is requesting 10,000 fearless black men to out of the country, right? So if we're gonna stand up as fearless black men, we gotta lead by example of what it means to take over a community. We gotta lead by example that we don't need the white man punishing our little baby savages. We gonna whip their ass and civilize them.
Right.
So the only way they get in the white man's hand is their mama say, well, I don't want you beating on my child no more because y'all don't whip them too bad. Let the white man bring him to jail. Because y'all, listen, if that, you know, remember back in the day they said it took a village to raise a child?
Right.
Man, bro, that's,
by the time you got halfway
crazy.
Home, you don't caught a whipping by your neighbor. And when you get home, I'm trying to tell your mama what your neighbor did you. You got another ass whipping because you shouldn't have told me what the neighbor did you.
But
right.
I ain't going to lie. Respect goes so far, and I think it's more than just beating them. I think it's the fact that just we don't interact with our kids. We shun our kids off of who we shun our own kids that we see every day for who we see on the news. We shun our kids every day. Like, we'll walk past kids and not speak to them, and they just want to interact.
That's because what you're saying is actually, like, we have really failed as far as being responsible adults within our community. You see what I'm saying? The children are a reflection of what's allowed in our presence. How many of us see them doing an illegal activity or doing something disrespectful because we say they're not our child? It ain't my business. You see what I'm saying? So right now it's time to make everybody's business my business.
You're right.
And then you're going to automatically make enemies
within
your community. So some of these fake leaders who you think is leaders, they're not going to like you. They're not going to like you because when you say, I need men to come stand up, and then when you calling them and they're supposed to be leaders and they don't show up to stand up, do what you're supposed to do. You're going to keep saying you're a leader? See, right now is the time for them to be calling fake leaders out. The word leader means lead. When the last time you led something? I heard you're a good perner. You know how to pern good. You think pern to what we should be doing. I thought you was a leader. Where are you going to lead to?
I think a lot of the people that you've seen on TV, anytime you see somebody on TV, that disqualifies them from leadership position right there because they're getting paid from somebody. I mean, believe it or not, when you look at the Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons, even the brother, Dr. Umar's, people like that, when they start getting paid, you're bargaining with the same system that you're saying you're going against. So
that's why
when I say leader, I don't know your name. You're not famous for it. I mean, you may not be, but I don't see your face. I hear you, and I hear the energy. The leaders are the ones in the community really doing it. You see what I'm saying? So I don't, everybody got their, I don't just know black man, period, for how they try to survive. If that's what you do, I'm pretty sure you can learn, because like I said, you're going to learn one way or another. You're going to learn one way or the other. And I just feel like at the end of the day, what you're doing is amazing, because I'm trying to do it right now, and I get more hard times from the adults than from the kids. The kids, we want to do stuff. They want to,
yeah, listen,
they want to learn.
Listen,
they want to learn.
Leave the adults alone. They're retarded, brother. All right? If you're fussing with adults, you're fussing retarded people who have, the word retarded means doing the same thing looking for a change, right?
I understand everything. Trust me.
The adults, you can't do nothing with them but find them and criticize them to make them become supporters of your youth. Because the youth are, they keep saying they're lazy. I say lazy people don't break in houses, brother. A person that's out here robbing people, they ain't lazy. You know what I'm saying? Stop talking about they lazy. They don't want to
do
nothing.
They don't have guidance.
They just rob 18 young people, and you're going to tell me they ain't doing nothing? See, they're pretty good at what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? So,
In the Bible, they had to take the kingdom of God. But an 11-day trip from Egypt to the promised land, it was only 11 days, but he let them wander for 40 years to let the old ones die out. So anybody that's in an old mindset or these old time back in the day, turn the other cheek, that's not happening today. All the old minds and old people are going to die out, and these youth who are fearless and who call in our generation and the generation before on our hypocrisy, they're not having that.
Because I ducked y'all. listen to me, family. Let's do this. Let's take this conversation and let's do a part two to it. And then when we do it, when we come back on again, we have some practical assignments for one another. You know, what we can do is that whatever our ideas are, let's talk about it, but then let's call each other to the carpet of accountability for why our ideas being carried into practice. You know, so because what the radio show is going to do is going to stimulate us to be more responsive. You know, so my brother, get my number from Sister Jada. Call me, let's sit down, let's build, and let's go to work. I'll let you know what resources I have at my hand. Exposure. When I say my hand exposed, I'm going to tell you what I got and what I could do, not what I want. So just get my number from her guy, and me and you going to build. But listen, all my clients walking through the dorm and right now, they on my back with their T-shirts right now. So I got to go to work, family. I love y'all.
Man, it was a good thing, bro.
Thank you for chiming in.
Oh,
I have another 2 minutes left on the show. I want to thank you for calling in.
I got to go.
Love you, bro. Salaam alaikum.
Alaikum salam. And thank you, Sister Jay, for having me.
Oh, no doubt, brother. Appreciate you. I have about one more minute. Tomorrow's show will be, I'll have Brother Paul Muhammad on tomorrow. We'll be talking about disaster and emergency preparedness. Are you ready or will you starve? You know, we have natural disasters, a war. A lot of things are happening. So tune in tomorrow for tomorrow's show. I do appreciate Nabi and Hotep, my brother, for calling in. Roz, thank you, sister, for your insight and calling in, making my very first show successful. Thank you, Brother Roosevelt, for your input. Everyone who out there that was listening, I hope that you listen and turn in. This, again, this will be an everyday discussion. I'll have different things we'll be discussing on, inviting people on. So let's just have a conscious conversation. Again, thank y'all
so much for
joining in and supporting me. And again, tune in tomorrow for tomorrow's show, another episode of Conscious Conversation. Have a good night.
Peace, God.
Peace.
God soldiers, it's time to take our place as the frozen. We must bring the heat from the streets and unthaw the minds of the masses that's frozen. There's no need to carry a MAC-10 when you understand the power of the pen. This is our greatest hour. We can't be afraid to speak truth to power. It all comes down to this moment. Do you want it or do you hold it? Time is like the mind. You can't hearts wasted. Success is on our fingertips. Can you taste it? Can you taste it? Face it. We either we arise and shine, or we complain and die. A nation of our own, a nation of our own. God didn't promise space, man, he promised land. God didn't promise space, man, he promised land. God didn't promise space, man.